briefly, James Nixon is a former A380 pilot, also is the author of The Crash of MH370. Now, the mystery surrounding MH370 goes back to March 2014. They couldn't find it then. Why do they believe that they can find it almost 12 years on? James Nixon, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Shane. You'd have to buy the book to work that out. But
good plug.
There's a lot of bits to this piece. In fact, it's probably one of the most amazing searches histories in the world. The group of people together from the homicide squad in Malaysia who did over 600 interviews to the guys who worked out the goose barnacles on the flapperon. What's a flapperon? That was a frangible piece of the airplane that washed up on a beach at Reunion and was found by an American lawyer, Blaine Gibson, who decided he'd go and find it for himself. He found it. It had barnacles on it. The barnacles were so old that they were fully developed. And Richard, the Dr. Cole down in Tasmania for the CSIRO, Dr. Richard Cole, he worked out that from where we think it crashed, it would take 500 days to get there using drift analysis. It took 508. So all these people came together and worked out pretty much the right area of where we think it is. And that's about 1,900 kilometres west-southwest of Perth.
So if we think it's there, James, do we believe it is still there? Because unlike the Titanic that sunk in two bits, there's every chance that this aircraft tragically smashed into the ocean into many tiny bits. And given ocean currents and things like that, are we really going to find an aircraft or large parts of it at the bottom of the Indian Ocean?
Well, look at history, Shane. Swiss Air 111 that crashed into the sea from 5,000 feet above the ground at only 250 knots off Halifax, Nova Scotia. There were over 1 million pieces of wreckage recovered. 1 million pieces. And so we know that pretty much only the big bits are going to be what they're looking for. And what Ocean Infinity is trying to find is two pieces, the steel cores of the two engines. They're about 1 metre by 1 metre by 2 metres, about the size of a desk. That's what they're looking for. And if they find that and they can find those two pieces, those are the easiest bits to find, they will get $70 million US. That's what they're after.
So what would that then tell you, James? If they were to find those, and obviously it's a nice payday for them, if they were to find those, what would those parts of the plane mean to finding out what happened to MH370?
Well, that will prove the debris field, and then they can find other people can go down and try and find the black boxes and try and find out what happened. But it's just a matter of finding where those pieces are. It's between 4 and 6.5 kilometres deep. Let's work that out. From Station Pier to St Kilda Pier is 4 kilometres. From Station Pier to Elwood Beach is 6.5 kilometres. Under the sea, straight down, in the dark, you're looking for something the size of a desk.
Do you think they'll find something?
Yeah, I reckon they will. Yeah, the guy who's behind all this, he's unbelievable. He's a treasure hunter. He's the whole thing about leading up to the development of Ocean Infinity in 2017... This guy, Anthony Clake, has done over 30 treasure hunts beforehand, before he became the chairman and started up Ocean Infinity. It's the most amazing yarn. And one day when we've got an hour and a lot of drinks, we'll talk all about it.
It sounds like there could be another book in it as well, James. Hey, before I let you go, obviously that flight was bound from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing and the transponder was turned off, basically to try and hide the aircraft. Can a pilot in 2025 still turn off the transponder of his aircraft? Should he be allowed to?
But hang on a second, wait a second. You got that wrong. All we know is the transponder stopped working. No one can prove that anyone turned anything off. And if wiring was being burnt through in the avionics compartment under the cockpit, then the wiring would burn through and turn off the aerials, turn off the transponder. And that's what we saw happen in this case. The VHF radio stopped working. Then the transponder stopped working. So things started falling apart over time.
Oh, geez. And then I asked the question, but if it was on fire then when the transponder went off, is it really going to survive all the way toward the bottom depths of the Indian Ocean? Is it going to fly that far?
trickiest checklist in aviation, the smoke, fire, fumes checklist. And the first officer jumps into it straight away. And what they do is perform some immediate actions. And those immediate actions probably put the fire out. But the toxic smoke probably killed everyone within 10 minutes. And the plane just flew on all by itself. We know the autopilot was off because a brilliant guy called Mike Exner from the Independent Group, he worked out by the radius of the turn and the speed of the airplane, we can then work out the bank angle. And that meant the autopilot was turned off as they turned back towards Penang before they tried to land. So there's a very good chance the autopilot was off and the plane just flew aimlessly along and affected by wind and clouds and currents and just wandered on its way till it ran out of fuel.
It is just the most wild story in aviation history, and the fact that there is no remnants of this aircraft yet, except for Reunion Island.
There's 30 remnants, 30 pieces of wreckage in 14 countries, and 3 pieces we know definitely came from this aeroplane, the serial numbers on them, the whole lot. So we know that there's 30 pieces of wreckage, and we know where they were, we know where they came from.
But there's a lot still to discover.
Can't wait.
James Nixon, a former A380 captain, always very generous with your time, author of The Crash of MH370. It is staggering, the case of an airliner. As he says, 30 parts have been discovered. Only 3 actually relate to the aircraft and what happened. And, you know, you kind of remember that quote, good night, MH370. Remarkable story. Wonder if they'll find any of it.